KALW.
Today marks 3 months since the fire at the Ghost Ship Warehouse in East Oakland. 36 people died. A night of electronic music was just beginning when a fire broke out, engulfing the building in a matter of minutes, trapping partygoers in the difficult-to-navigate building. According to the New York Times, there was only one exit that most victims could have reached, and it was down a winding, makeshift staircase. The cause of the fire is still under investigation. KALW's economics reporter Jeremy Dalmas wanted to find out what's happened in the aftermath, so he went to the scene of the fire earlier this week.
I'm in front of the Ghost Ship right now on 31st at International, and even though the street is partially a quiet residential one, it's just a few hundred feet away from the main drag in Fruitvale, and a few blocks away from the Fruitvale BART station. The building is boarded up and surrounded with a fence, and there's a security guard posted out front. But even 3 months later, it still smells like a fire, and there are still dozens of fresh flowers out front.
The building that housed the Ghost Ship was originally built in 1930. Before people moved in residentially in 2013, the space had been empty for years. And while housing prices in the Bay have pushed more people into unpermitted rentals, locals have been living in industrial spaces since long before the current housing crisis. The early 1970s saw a wave of artists moving into unused spaces in San Francisco's SoMa and Mission districts. And while almost all of them are gone, some of these old-time collectives became part of the city's current arts establishment. Here's KALW's Jeremy Dalmas.
Instead of ringing a doorbell, Craig Baldwin told me to stomp on the metal plate in the sidewalk in front of his space on Valencia Street.
I'm probably the last straggling, you know, guy in the Mission. I'm the leaseholder here, by the way.
Baldwin's lived here at Artist Television Access since they moved in 1987. They're a small theater and event space that focuses on film. Baldwin himself is a well-known experimental filmmaker, and he keeps his film archives in the basement. But before moving in, he lived at the iconic Project One.
Like a four-story building, five if you count the basement. There were 70, 78, 79 people in there, probably more at one point.
According to local historians, Project One was the first community of young artists who lived in an old industrial space in San Francisco. Before 1971, those spaces weren't available because they were still filled with industry. Large-scale manufacturing hadn't started to leave the city in earnest yet. Dozens of artists moved into this 84,000-square-foot old candy factory at 10th and Harrison in SoMa. Baldwin describes it as a multi-story vertical village with projects all over the building.
Like stained glass, or filmmaking, or silkscreen printing, or music studio. And in the first floor, there was actually a computer lab, one of the very earliest here.
Project One was for people who needed a large space, a studio, but their work couldn't fit into a normal house, and affordability was also crucial.
You see, the idea is if you lived in an apartment and then you had a studio somewhere else across town, you'd be paying two rents.
They would have been paying an average of around $400 a person to live and work there, adjusted for inflation. He says he could never have become an established filmmaker without that physical space. The economics for artists are the same now.
The cost of paying for the gallery space is made up for, see, by the renters.
Hosting music performances, films, and art shows provided a venue for lesser-known talents and, at the same time, helped residents pay the rent. But these spaces rarely last. Project One got evicted in the early 80s, and almost every other industrial art space in San Francisco is long gone. But against the odds, there is one tenacious space in the Mission District that has survived for decades. This space is still there, and they're still relevant. This is a recording of Kronos Quartet performing there in 2010.
Our toe is beautiful if you go over there. They succeeded, you understand, for whatever reason.
Project Artaud started in 1971, right after Project One. They're in an old American can company factory that takes up a whole city block. They began with practically nothing.
But there was no walls, so it was unbelievable. It was just like open into this 40,000 square foot. It's amazing. It was a cathedral.
Nicole Sawaya used to manage the theater here. She moved into Project Artaud in 1978 and has lived here ever since. Like Craig Baldwin, she says that having both arts and living spaces in the same building was economically essential. There are still performances today, and dozens of artists still live here. They tend to be older, like Sawaya.
So here's my studio.
Oh, God.
When I got this studio, I sandblasted, because this was all painted, to take it down to the brick.
Just like Project One, and like contemporary live-in industrial spaces, when they first got in here, it was an empty shell, and they had to build everything themselves.
And then it was like screw guns and sheetrock all through the morning, noon, and night.
For the authorities, though, this was unprecedented. Sawaya says the city had never heard of having events in the same place where people lived. They condemned the building almost immediately. And this would have been the end of the line in other spaces. But Project Artaud had an ace up their sleeve, an advantage that few artist spaces had, then or now. They own the building.
And we wouldn't be here if back in 1971, those very, very smart people hadn't said, you know, forget about leasing it, let's buy it.
The city didn't make people stop living there, and Artaud worked with them slowly over the years to write new codes and get the building into compliance with existing regulations. It was a back and forth, beginning with sprinklers, fire doors, and exit signs.
But the city was pretty amazing back then. It was very elastic. We were in conversation with them for 10 years.
By 1984, the whole building was legal, and people have lived there legally ever since. And it's not just Project Artaud and Artist Television Access. Southern Exposure, The Lab, and Counterpulse are all pillars in the local arts establishment, and they all grew out of spaces of questionable legality in the 70s and 80s. But as it gets more difficult to use spaces like these, it gets harder to see what will seed the next generation of arts organizations in the Bay Area. For Cross Currents, I'm Jeremy Dalmas.